This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers and sisters and children, I want you to imagine something for a moment. Imagine that you are on a racetrack. A 100-meter race is about to begin, and you are there waiting to start. In fact, you are eager to win the race. On your mind, you have the gold medal as the reward for winning this race. And as the trigger is blown and you start that race, you see towards the end that you are about to win. You cross the finishing line and you throw your hands up in the air out of triumph. And then you begin to catch your breath and you slow down. And as you are catching your breath and as you are panting, you turn around and you see a very frightening sight. That someone has released a lion onto the racetrack. Lion that's been starved for many weeks. And it looks at you and starts to give you chase. Now in your mind, ask yourself, what would you do? You just ran a race in which you exhausted yourself. And you won the race. But now you see there's a lion running for you. Most probably what any one of us would do is we'd get straight back up and we'd run again. But the interesting thing to ask yourself is, would you run faster or slower than the first race? If you had to run another 100 meters, would you be able to break your record in the first race with the second race? Now this may sound like a very strange thing to think about. But if you really reflect, you may come to the conclusion that, you know what, I think I would probably outdo myself when I was running away from the lion. And what does that teach us? It teaches us that when you ran because of fear and fright, ultimately you managed to achieve something you could not achieve when you are running for reward and for pleasure. That in the first race you ran for the gold, and the second race you ran for your life. And this is why it's very important, my brothers and sisters, to understand and appreciate why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they spoke in so much detail about the punishment of Jahannam and about the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people usually hear about verses to do with the hellfire or a hadith warning them, they react in a very unfortunate way. They say, would you mind just speaking about Jannah and the rewards, please? Why are you scaring me? Why are you threatening me? Why does God, iyadh billah, want to scare His creation? It is about love, no? But if you think about it, your daily life doesn't run like this. You don't work. You don't live just out of reward. What motivates you to be a good person usually is the threat of punishment and consequences. I'll give you a simple example. Just driving on the road. How many laws and regulations are there that you must abide by? Waiting at the traffic light. Now, hand on heart, how many people would wait at the traffic light if they knew, if they went through, nothing would happen to them? How many people would keep to the speed limit if they knew that none of these cameras work and no one would ever find out that they did what they did? You know, in this city, a few years ago, we had the London riots and people went crazy. And many of these youngsters, they were perfectly law-abiding citizens up until that moment came. When they became like thugs, breaking into shops and stealing things. Why did that happen? It happened because they thought in that moment, there is no authority in control anymore. I can get away with whatever I want. There are no consequences to my actions. And we saw that that type of mentality, it brings out the worst in people. And that is why it is so amazing that if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He threatened us about Jahannam really for our own benefit, to help us to make the right choices in life. Let me share one or two narrations from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Sahih Muslim, he said, "Yu'ta bi jahannama yawma idhin laha 70 alfa zimamin ma'a kulli zimamin 70 alfa malakin yajurrunaha." He said that on the Day of Judgment, the hellfire will be brought before the people, and it will be chained down with 70,000 chains. And at the end of each chain is 70,000 angels trying to control it. Subhanallah. What an image. And what always takes me back is, one angel, surely it wouldn't be enough to control Jahannam. But Allah said, no, the Prophet said, no, 70,000 chains, and at the end is 70,000 angels per chain. And when you think about a creature that's chained on a leash, in your mind you think about a wild animal, something out of control, a living being. And as you go through the Quran, you find that Allah will describe Jahannam as if it is a wild beast. For example, in Surah Qaf, Allah will say, on the Day of Judgment, He will speak to Jahannam. Halim talat. Allah will say, are you now full? This is after all of the jinn and ins that have disbelieved or disobeyed have been thrown into it. And Jahannam will say, hal mim mazid. Is there any more? Allahu Akbar. As if it is angry and it is not satisfied. I want more. In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah said, إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورٌ. Allah says, and when they are cast into it, they will hear its shaheeq. And the shaheeq is a sound that is hideous. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they say it is the exhaling and the inhaling that comes from deep within the chest, like an animal that is panting. وَهِيَ tafur, and it will explode. The word tafur, the Arabs say فَوْرُ الْمَا, when the water boils over the pan. And a riot is called afaira in Arabic, a riot where people lose control. Allah is saying that Jahannam, when people are thrown into it, it starts to rage and explode and lose control. Why is that? They say because Jahannam is angry on behalf of Allah, subhanAllah. As if Jahannam is angry at those people, how dare you disobey Allah? And so I want to punish you. I want to devour you. May Allah protect us, subhanAllah. Some small descriptions. This is just a glimpse into what Jahannam, Allah has described it in so much detail. But going back to that first idea, my brothers and sisters, we need this reminder. We need to be reminded that there is a destination called the hellfire. And if we don't fix up, we may have to experience its torture. نَسْوَلَ اللَّهَ السَّلَامَةَ وَالْعَافِيَةَ. Let me ask you another question. Let's say you're at work and your supervisor or your boss says, this is a project I need you to complete. You have 1 month. And by the way, if you don't complete this project, there will be consequences. Consequence number one, you will not get your bonus. Consequence number two, you will lose your job. Now imagine you're in that situation. And the boss said to you, you will not get your bonus. Sure, you'll be motivated to complete that project. You know, there's that dollar signs going through your eyes. You're like, I want that bonus. But let's say, no, he didn't say that. He said, you lose your job. How many of you will be more motivated because of the second option as opposed to the first? Most of us, when it comes down to it, the real reason we do difficult things in life is because we don't want negative consequences. And this is an act of mercy from Allah. Imagine No one told you about the hellfire. It was kept from you. And then on the day of judgment, because you disbelieved or you disobeyed Allah, you are told this is your home. What will people say? They will say, Allah, you never told me about this. Allah, this is not fair. You should have told me that this is what will happen to me. You see? Because Allah told you before, it is in essence an act of mercy to you. I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to burn there. Let me tell you about it now so you are so scared, you will never behave in a way that leads you there. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Kunna ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha sami'u." He said, we were once with the Prophet ﷺ when we heard a wajba. We heard this crashing sound. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Atadruna ma hadha?" Do you know what that sound was? And the companion said, "Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam." They said, "Allah and His Messenger know best." Look at the humility of the companions before the Prophet ﷺ. Allah and His Messenger know best. Today some people ask questions and they jump to answer them even though they don't know best. May Allah grant us understanding. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Hada hajarun." He said, that sound is a sound of a huge boulder. It was thrown into Jahannam 70 years ago. And just now it hit the ground. Allahu Akbar. How deep is Jahannam? And what makes it even more frightening is that in the Quran Allah says, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. In Surah Sajda, Allah said, we will fill Jahannam with men and jinn all together. We will fill it up. Think about that, ya salam. Something so deep, it takes 70 years to reach the bottom. Allah is saying, we will fill it up to the top. May Allah protect us, subhanAllah. Thinking about the hellfire is beneficial on many levels. You know, it can actually help you to reach out to someone in your life that is living a reckless life. Because you ask yourself, you know what, this person, if he continues not to pray, if this person continues to be addicted to drugs, what is going to happen to him after he dies? What is going to happen to her after she dies? Most probably they will go to the hellfire. I don't want that for them. Let me intervene and give them a piece of advice. Just like Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father, an idol worshipper. And he says, "Ya Abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka 'adhabun min ar-rahman fatakuna lish-shaytani waliyya." In Surah Maryam, he said, "Oh my dear father, oh my dear father, I'm scared that the punishment of the All-Merciful will seize you and you'll become a companion of shaytan," meaning you're going to go to hell with the devil. See how Ibrahim alayhi salam, he thought, my dad, if he continues to worship idols and disobey Allah, what is going to happen? He's going to burn. I don't want that for my father. And this is so important. We all have family members and friends that are struggling with the deen. And sometimes you turn a blind eye. And sometimes you say to yourself, you know what? It's their life, they can do what they want. But if you really think about what that means, is you are letting them go to enter the hellfire. Would you want that for your family? Would you want that for your children? Of course not. So thinking about Jahannam, subhanAllah, can help you to act and to be someone who rescues another. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that save people from the hellfire. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد إخواني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he said something amazing in Sahih Muslim he said لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولا بكيتم كثيرا he said if you knew what I know you would laugh less and you would cry more what does this mean It means that, my brothers and sisters, sometimes we are trying to live a life where we are always pursuing that which is fun and makes our life enjoyable. And if you really break down your day, your activities in your day, you will find that you try to fill your day with the things that make you heedless about the Akhirah. Watching TV, playing games, sports. Some of these things in the right dose, not a problem. But when your whole day is full of activities that make you forget about the Akhirah, this is a big problem. For the Prophet ﷺ said, if you knew what I know, then you would laugh less. And you would cry more. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ would say, when he was outside, he was seen smiling and laughing with his companions. But when he was in the home with us, we would see him crying many times. Allahu Akbar. This is not telling us that we must be people who are always sad. People that are always frowning. No, no, no. This is about balance in life. This is about having a habit of sitting by yourself and thinking, what is going to happen to me after I die? It is a habit of looking in the mirror every now and again, ask yourself, is this person going to Jannah or is this person going to Jahannam? Asking yourself a tough question like that every now and again to keep yourself in check. Another benefit of thinking about Jahannam is that you will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will inspire you to raise your hands and to beg Allah to save you from Jahannam. In the Quran, we find many dua like this. Memorize them. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. In Surah Furqan, Allah tells us that عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ is people who are the slaves of the most merciful Allah. They make dua to Allah. One of their du'as is what? Oh, our Master, turn away the punishment of Jahannam from us. Indeed, its torture is very severe. And what is amazing about this is that it's coming from people who look at Allah as Ar-Rahman. You know, many people, they go to an extreme when it comes to the mercy of Allah. People, I hear them, they say this. Allah is so merciful, you know, if I do a few bad things in life, He will let it slide. Astaghfirullah. Yeah, maybe I will change when I get older, one foot in the grave. I'll make those changes. Allah is ghafoor, Allah is rahim. I don't need to wear hijab, sister says. Allah is forgiving. Yeah, Allah is forgiving, Allah is also shadeedul iqab as well. Allah is also severe in punishment. Don't let shaitan delude you about the mercy of Allah. Here in the Quran, Allah says, people who worship Allah, knowing that He's Ar-Rahman, they ask Him, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ. Oh, our Master, save us from the punishment of Jahannam. This is one lesson that we must take away from this khutbah. Another benefit, ikhwani, about thinking of Jahannam is that it gives a person reassurance in their heart that the criminals in this world will not get away with what they are doing. Many criminals out there, many oppressors out there, many people who hurt others, and it seems as though they have gotten away with it. No one is there to take them to account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let anyone escape His punishment. And when you think about that, sometimes it makes you calm down. I would love to correct this person. I would love to stop this evil, but what can I do? This person is getting away with it. No, no, no. He will never get away with this. She will never get away with this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what the zalimun do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful names and attributes that He makes us people of Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His magnificent names and attributes that He save us and our families from the fire of Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on Yawm al-Qiyamah we are granted our book in our right hand and not in our left hand. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the path, the sirat is brought before us, we are able to cross it like the bolt of lightning. Allahumma ameen. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقيموا الصلاة